Many times you have heard me say that God has given us everything that we need to accomplish His will for us. And sometimes when I say that, I'm sure that people may think that I am talking about physical things, money, stuff. But you would be mistaken, because that is not at all what I'm talking about. When I say that God has given us everything that we need to accomplish His will, what I am referring to is you. God has brought each and every one of us together, and He has done so for one purpose, and that is for us to accomplish His will. At the beginning of the year, I started preaching about what we needed to do to be the church that we needed to be in 2020. And we've talked about different things that need to happen within our church for us to be who God has created us to be as a church. This goes along those same lines. Spiritual gifts. Where do you fit? Each and every one of you, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have been gifted with certain gifts. And we're going to look at those today. And I want you to think about where you fit in God's plan for our church. A lot of times when we, you know, within the next couple of weeks or next month or so, our nominating committee is going to start working on putting together committees and ministry teams for the coming year that starts in September. I want to tell you, the nominating committee is probably one of the worst jobs in the church. Because in some cases you have to, in fact this last year was a little bit different because they didn't have to do it this past year. But normally they have to beg and plead and bribe and everything else to get somebody to do something, to fill a spot on a committee. That's not the way God wants it. Everybody here that God has brought together as a child of God, they have abilities that we need. They have abilities that will help us in reaching this community and our world for Jesus Christ. So let's look at these. And I've got three different passages that we're going to look at. So if you turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8 first, if you would stand as I read this. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. And this is what Paul writes to the church in Rome. He says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberally, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." And then flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. And then verse 28 of that same chapter, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, various kinds of tongues. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, it says this, and he gives some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature. My pages are sticking together. Apologize for that. Which belong to the fullness of Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for what Paul writes in these three passages about the gifts of the Spirit, and how they are supposed to work, and what their purpose is. Please bless the reading of your word, and it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. I apologize. In this passage, all three of them, you'll notice some things, and we're going to look at those right now. First thing is, what are spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts, though the Bible doesn't give a definition of spiritual gifts, it does tell us a great deal about their nature and function. Look again at this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries in the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to teach one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The Greek word charismata literally translates gifts of grace, and refers to the special abilities God has given believers through the Holy Spirit. Now I want us to think about this. Charismata. What English word that we use do you think that sounds like? Charisma. If we say that somebody has charisma, what does it mean? That there is something about that person that draws other people to them. That people like being around them. They like listening to them. They like following them because they have charisma. It is the same word. That is the word. This Greek word is the word we get that, our English word charisma, from. And what this word means is gifted by grace, that we have been gifted grace. We have been gifted abilities through the grace of God, through His Holy Spirit, for the same reason that we say people have charisma. This passage I just read said that we've been given gifts for the common good. We as Christians, there should be something about us that draws people to us, that has them listening to what we say, because we have a very different message than anybody else in the world has. We have the message of the gospel. We have the message of Jesus Christ healing and mending broken lives. It is very different. And we have that message. And God has given us the ability to spread that message through the gifts that He has given us. And then spiritual gifts are the ability God has given to each and every believer through the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives for the purpose of service to build up his church. Now, when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, Baptists tend to get a little bit antsy. And that's a good thing. Because Jesus, when he came, he stirred up the religious organization of the day, didn't he? You remember the story of Jesus going in to the temple and the money changers were in the outer gates? And Jesus did what? He started flipping tables. He chased them out, told them that they were not going to turn his father's house into a den of thieves because they were cheating people. Well, you know, when Jesus tells his disciples that he is going to send the Holy Spirit or he's going to send a comforter, what he is saying is that Jesus told them that he would send the same type of person or the same type of thing that he was. Another just like him. And he sent the Holy Spirit. Why did Jesus say that he was just like, that God was going to send somebody else just like him? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three in one, the Trinity. The Spirit is God working in our lives just like Jesus did. He is the comforter. He is the one that convicts. He is the one that changes us from the inside out and makes us into something new, to make us into who God created us to be in the very first place. But we as Baptists, when we start talking about the Spirit and we start talking about the gift of the Spirit, especially with a couple of the gifts that we're going to talk about, we get a little bit uncomfortable. And I'm going to tell you something. It is okay to get excited about God. It is okay to shout because of what God is doing in your life. It is okay to cry. There have been times that we've been singing a song and all I could do was sit there with my hands raised. I couldn't even utter a word because God was moving so mightily in me. And I was welling up. As Jackie says, sometimes the blessing just builds up and it overflows through your eyes. That is okay. Because people need to see that. Look at Ephesians chapter 11 or chapter 4, verses 11 through 13 again. And he gives some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building of the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. One purpose. Jesus, God gave us the gifts of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works within each of us to give us these certain gifts for one purpose, and that is to build his church, to unify and to bring everybody to maturity, to teach and to guide those around us to help build the kingdom of God. One purpose. Now let's look at this list of spiritual gifts. While all spiritual gifts are given for the building of the church, they fill different roles within the church. Not all gifts are the same, but they're all coming from the same Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:28 and Ephesians 4:11, it lists apostle, the gift of the apostle. Now, this is the one that we really get a little bit uncomfortable with as Baptists. 1 Corinthians 12:10 and 28, verse 28 and 30, it refers to the gift of tongues or the gift of many tongues. I'm going to say this. We as Baptists tend to deny this gift But we are wrong. Why are we wrong? Because the Bible says it exists. Does it exist in the form that we see it now in certain churches? I don't know. I can't answer that. But I do know this, that God says that there is a gift of tongues. And then we will also go on and share this other one. The very next one in 1 Corinthians 12, 10, and 30 is the interpretation of tongues. Those two gifts go hand in hand. God will not give a gift of tongues without having given somebody in the same body the gift of interpretation. How do I know this is true? Because the Bible says it. Simple as that. Do I understand it? No. I have been told that I was not saved because I did not have the gift of tongues, that I have not been baptized in the Spirit. My response to that is, show me where it says that in the Bible. It does not say that. The gift of tongues is just like any other gift of the Spirit. It has been given to some and it's not been given to some. Just because you don't have it doesn't mean that you have not received the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says that once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then He begins to work in you and shape you and mold you. So everybody that accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior has the Holy Spirit. Now these two gifts make us feel uncomfortable. There's another one that makes us feel a little bit uncomfortable, and we'll talk about that. Then you have the gift of miracles. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 10 and 28. What is that? Well, God has given the ability through the Holy Spirit of some people to perform miracles. Does that mean that I believe that all these people you see on TV that are having their healing services and doing miracles and things like that are real? No. Why? Because they're asking for your money. And God will not charge for what He does. You remember the story of the man that comes up to the apostles and he asks them to sell them the ability to do what they're doing? And they say, it's not ours to sell. So be careful. Yes, the Bible says that there are people that have the ability to perform miracles, but they're not going to be getting rich off of it, because if they're getting rich off of it, they're in it for the wrong motives. The Bible tells us what the purpose of these gifts are, and that is to build the kingdom of God, not to fleece the people. And I'm sorry for being blunt, but that's the way it is. Then you have the gift of healing. Yes, the gift of healing. This gift, sometimes, if you look at Paul, there are times, or even Peter, there are times that they were able to heal people. But then there were other times that they couldn't. This is a gift that comes through the Holy Spirit, and it's for the purpose of building the body. Not everybody has this, but you know what? What everybody can do is that every single one of us can pray to the ultimate physician to heal. And there are some times that God will heal, and there's some times that God won't heal. We know that all so well here in our church. But in all things, God gets the glory for it. And I've seen as many lives change because somebody went to be with the Lord as I have because somebody walked away from a situation that should have killed them. God has both things. And God allows both, but He has a purpose for both. And that is to build His kingdom. Then we have the gift of faith. In 1 Corinthians 12, 9. Now you're saying, well, this, how can you have the gift of faith? I'm going to tell you something. I have seen some people that have literally had the faith that could move mountains. And that is a special kind of faith. That is a God-given faith. That is a faith that only comes through the gifting of the Holy Spirit. We say we all want to have that faith, yes, but this is a special type of faith that goes far beyond anything that the normal person can muster. Discernment, 1 Corinthians 12:10, being able to distinguish between spirits. What this gift is, it's a gift that you can sit into a situation and you say, there's something not right here. I don't know if you would ever actually be okay with don't mess with this person. You know, gentlemen, you need to listen to your wives on this, okay? Women, don't get excited. But I'm going to tell you something. I have never gone wrong listening to Ginger when she says, I don't feel comfortable with this, you being around this person. You need to watch. Don't. I've never gone wrong listening to that. Because normally the person that she's saying me to watch, I've not felt easy around myself. And sure enough, it's not too long after she tells me that something happens and that person has done something or got somebody else in trouble. And I'm like, man, I'm glad I listened to her. Don't get excited, baby, because I know it don't happen that often. But God gives us that discernment. And this discernment, we need to listen. If somebody's got the gift of discernment, we need to listen to what they have to say because God has given them the ability to see things that the rest of us don't see. Wisdom. 1 Corinthians 12:8 is where that is mentioned. And then right after that, in the same verse, is knowledge. A lot of people think that knowledge and wisdom are the same thing, and they're not. Common sense. Have you ever met somebody that was so stinking book smart they were dumb? Yes. I have to remind my kids, you know, as they got older and they started into going to school and they started taking classes and all of a sudden they knew more than I did, I would have to remind them that book knowledge is not always the best thing. Faith was bad about it when she started going through driver's ed. I'd do something. You can't do that. You're not supposed to do it that way. You got to do it this way. And I looked at her, and I said, baby, I have been driving for over half of my life. I think I know how to do this. You know? My kids like to remind me that I'm old. But book knowledge is not the same thing as wisdom. Wisdom is being able to understand what is being taught and understand what is being said and to apply it and being able to tell people how to do things and understand situations and see it in a different way that only God can allow you to see. God has given some people in this church the gift of wisdom. Some, he has given the gift of knowledge. We have a lot of very smart people. And we have a lot of people that we need to listen to. And then we have the gift of evangelism. Ephesians 4:11. Yes, evangelism is the job of everyone. The Great Commission tells us all that we are to go out and to make disciples. Yes, it is our job, but there are certain people that God has given the gift of evangelism. And their whole reason for living and breathing is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to win others to the Lord. That is the heartbeat of their being. That is what makes them tick. It is a special gift from God. My dad, I have no doubt that he has the gift of evangelism. He could go up to a doorknob and lead him to Jesus Christ. He really could. He will talk to anybody and everybody, anywhere, about Jesus Christ. It takes a special gift to be able to do that. The gift of prophecy. Now, this gift, there is a little bit of debate on what this actually means, but it is mentioned in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10 and 28, and again in Ephesians 4, 11. So it is mentioned four times in these three passages. Some people believe that it is strictly the ability to stand up and proclaim the Word of God. Others believe that it is actually being able to prophesy and say what the future holds and make a prophecy. I'm going to tell you this. Either way, the Bible tells us that if somebody prophesies and it does not come 100% true, then it is all a lie. We have to be careful. I tell the children and the youth when I was working with children and youth, and I tell you the same thing. If somebody says something, and somebody says that it's a word from God, and it doesn't match up to what the Bible says already, guess what you need to be aware of? You need to be aware of them, and you need to be careful. Because God will not tell you something that goes against His Word. That's just as simple as it is. He will not tell you something that will go against His character. He will never tell you that it is okay to do something that He's already said is wrong. My dad shared something with me when he was a pastor. He said that a woman in the church came and told him, it was a senior lady in the church, came and said that God had told her that she should move in with her boyfriend. And my dad said, you better be praying again, because that's not God telling you to do that, because God's not going to tell you anything to do anything that goes against what He's already said is wrong. God will never tell you to do something that goes against His character or that goes against what His Word says. Ever. So regardless of if it's somebody telling you and telling you they're speaking the word, or it's somebody saying that they've got a word from God about your future, you need to listen and you need to compare it to what God says already, and if it doesn't match up, you need to forget about it. The gift of teaching, Romans 12, 7 and 1 Corinthians 12, 28. If you don't think it takes a special gift to teach, you need to go spend time over at the high school and the middle school and the elementary schools, because it most definitely takes a special gift to teach. And I'm going to tell you, there are some people in our church that have the gift of teaching, and they're using that gift. There's others that have that gift and they're not using it. But there are others that are trying to fill the role of a teacher, and they're a round peg in a square hole. And it is the world's hardest thing for them to be able to do. But they're wanting to serve and they're wanting to do. Jesus has given some of us the ability to stand and teach, and the desire to teach. It is a gift. The gift of exhortation. Let me tell you something. Romans 12, 8. We need those that exhort other people, that lift each other people up. And it is a special gift to come behind somebody and pick them up and lift them up. That is a special talent and a special ability that God gives some people. Ephesians 4:11, the gift of shepherding or pastoring. Now, this is one thing I have to tell you, that not everybody that has the gift of shepherding are called to be pastors. Shepherding means that you take responsibility for a certain group, that you want to see them learn and grow, and you care about them. But not everybody that has this gift is called to be a pastor. The gift of serving, Romans 12:7 and verses in 1 Corinthians 12:28, the gift of serving. These are the ones that God has given the ability to do special things, that work behind the scenes to make sure things are taken care of and things run. They're service-oriented. Church would not operate without these people. And we need this gift, the gift of mercy, Romans 12:8. Can you imagine in a church body, if God had not given some people the gift of mercy, what type of situation we would have? We would be at each other's throats all the time. Nobody would want to be apart. But it's that person that has the gift of mercy that will come alongside and say, hey, you guys, you need to, and remind others, remember where you used to be? They deserve the same mercy that we received. And they're the ones that come along the side of the person that's needing mercy and that are there to help them through and show them that grace that God has given us. The gift of giving, 12:8. Yes, it is each and every one of our responsibility to give back to God. But there are some people that God has given the heart and the ability to give more than their fair share. They have given them the ability to go beyond what everybody else does, and they do it cheerfully. And the gift of administration, 12:8. Romans 12:8, and then 1 Corinthians 12:28. The gift of administration. You cannot just bring a bunch of people together and have them accomplish anything without having somebody set out a plan and administer that plan. It takes somebody with the gift of administration to lay out money, the job that's to be done, and to plan everything out and to make sure everybody is where they need to be to accomplish what is laid out to do. All of these gifts are represented within our church. All of these gifts are part of who we are. But some of us are not in the right spot. Some of us are not doing what we have been created to do. Where do you fit? God has given us everything that we need to accomplish what He has set before us. He has given us you. You need to be able to use God's gifts that He has given you, and we need you to use God's gifts that He has given you. Now I'm going to show you this website. This is a spiritual gift assessment, and this focuses on one area, this particular assessment. In the notes, it has got an extra E. It says groweth in the sermon notes in the bulletin, but it's actually churchgrowth.org. It is a free test, a free assessment. If you take this, it focuses on those areas of ministry within the church and where you possibly could fit within those groups. In your own time, it's free. For the individual test, take this assessment. Answer the questions. Answer them honestly. Not the way that I would want you to answer them or anybody else would want you to answer them. Be truthful. Nobody's going to see this except you. See where your tendencies lie. See where you could possibly fit within the life of our church. We want to get you in the right spot. We want you to thrive. We want you to be happy. We want you to be joyful. And we want you to help build the kingdom of God. Next week, we're going to have a special speaker for Lady Sunday. And then after that, we will get back in and we'll start looking at some of these spiritual gifts a little bit more in depth individually, so that you can better understand what this all is about the gifts of the Spirit. But this is one thing that I want to make clear to you. If you are here today, it's not by accident. God has brought you here. If you are a member of this congregation, if you are a member of the church, you are not a member by accident. God has brought you here. God wants you, number one, to have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. If you don't have that, you will not understand any of the other stuff that I've talked about. That's the number one thing that God wants you to do, is to make sure that you have a relationship with Him. I would love to be able to explain to you how you can do that if you don't know. The second thing is God wants you to be part of a body where you can serve and you can use your gifts to build the kingdom of God. If you are not, or if you're looking for a place, pray about if this is where God wants you to be. And the third thing is, if you are where God wants you to be, use your abilities to further the kingdom where you're at. Get plugged in the right positions and use those abilities that God has given you through the Holy Spirit to do exactly what He is asking you to do. If you will do that, then you will be happy. Won't mean that everything will be easy, but you will be happy because you're following God's will for your life. This is your time to do business with God. If He is leading you to do something, this right here within the next few minutes is your chance to take care of that right now.